This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Why childhood emotional patterns undermine your emotional control during adult conflicts. Old survival habits dressed up as adult reactions. In short, childhood emotional patterns do not stay in childhood. They travel with you into every conflict you face as an adult, shaping what you say, what you avoid, and how quickly you lose your emotional control under pressure. Patterns formed in early life become automatic stress responses in adult disputes. They are easy to miss because they feel like personality, not history. Recognizing them is the first act of genuine self-regulation. Definition: childhood emotional patterns are learned responses to stress, conflict, or emotional threat that formed during early development. They become default behavior under pressure, often undermining emotional control in adult disputes long after the original circumstances have passed. You thought you had handled it well. The meeting ended, everyone moved on, and then your colleague made one small comment on the way out of the room. Something shifted inside you. Your chest tightened. Your voice came out harder than you intended. By the time you were walking back to your desk, you felt 10 years old again, and you had no idea why. That is childhood emotional patterns doing what they have always done. They do not announce themselves. They disguise themselves as reasonable reactions, and they are particularly skilled at hijacking your emotional control in exactly the moments when it matters most. Many people spend years assuming their conflict responses are just part of who they are. They are not. They are habits built for survival in a very different time. This article will help you recognize the specific signs that old conditioning is still running your adult reactions, and show you where to start changing it. Why these reactions feel so personal. Before we get into the signs, let me say something important. These patterns went undetected for so long in my own life because they felt like me, not like something I had learned, not like something I could question. When your earliest emotional responses were shaped before you had language to name them, they become indistinguishable from character. The other reason they hide is that they usually work at some level. Going quiet stops an escalation. Appeasing an angry person creates a short-term peace. Fighting back can actually protect you. These were real strategies once. The trouble is that the nervous system does not update automatically. It keeps reaching for the same tools, even when you're 4 to 3 years old, and the person across from you is a colleague, not a parent. If you want to understand how unexamined emotional responses affect group dynamics, the link between emotional intelligence and team synergy is worth reading alongside this. 6 signs that old patterns are controlling your conflict responses. 1. Your reaction is noticeably bigger than the situation. What it looks like: a mild challenge to your idea lands like a personal attack. You feel a surge of anger, shame, or panic that even you recognize as disproportionate, sometimes only after the fact. Why it happens: your nervous system has pattern matched the present moment to an older, more dangerous one. The emotional charge you feel belongs partly to now and partly to then. Why it matters: disproportionate reactions erode trust. People stop bringing you real problems. They learn to manage around you instead of working with you. What to do? After the next incident, write down what you felt and what triggered it. Then ask, when did I feel this exact feeling as a child? The answer is usually specific and surprising. Here is the truth of it. I spent years thinking I had a quick temper. It took me decades to see that the temper was a relay station for fear. 2. You go completely silent when pressure rises. What it looks like: in high-stakes moments, you freeze. Words disappear. You nod, agree, or disengage entirely, even when you have something important to say. Why it happens: silence was safe once. It drew less fire. Your nervous system still treats self-expression as a risk when conflict signals appear. Why it matters: silence looks like agreement. It allows bad decisions to go unchallenged. It costs you credibility and costs the conversation its most important perspectives. What to do? Prepare one sentence before any difficult exchange. I need a moment to think before I respond. That sentence breaks the automatic shutdown without requiring you to already have the words. This pattern is one of the least visible barriers to psychological safety in teams. The people who go quiet are often the ones most worth hearing. 3. You apologize before anyone has said you are wrong. What it looks like: you preempt conflict by immediately softening your position, over-explaining yourself, or assuming fault before the other person has even responded. Why it happens: in some early environments, taking responsibility quickly was the only way to de-escalate an angry adult. Appeasement kept the peace. It became a reflex. Why it matters. Premature apology signals that your position has no ground under it. It invites the other person to push harder. It corrodes your credibility steadily, one over apology at a time. What to do? Before your next difficult conversation, commit to completing your first thought before you qualify it. One clear statement, then pause. See what actually happens rather than what you fear will happen. 4. You replay the argument for days afterward. What it looks like, the conflict ends, but you keep running it forward and backward in your head. You rehearse what you should have said. You re-examine every phrase the other person used. Why it happens. This is a threat monitoring habit. Children in unpredictable environments learn to scan for danger even when the immediate threat has passed. The nervous system keeps the file open. Why it matters. Rumination drains the cognitive and emotional energy you need for everything else. It also amplifies the original reaction, making the next conflict feel even more loaded before it begins. What to do? Set a defined review window. Give yourself 20 minutes to think through what happened, what you would do differently, and what you need to address. Then close the file consciously. Write the decision down if it helps. 5. You manage others' emotions before your own. What it looks like. The moment tension appears, your attention shifts entirely to calming the other person, reading their mood, and adjusting yourself to reduce their discomfort. Your own needs simply disappear from view. Why it happens. This is perhaps the most counterintuitive pattern on this list, because it looks like emotional intelligence. It is often praised. But it developed in children who learned that another person's emotional state determined their own safety. Monitoring others was not kindness, it was survival. Why it matters. When you regulate others before yourself, you have no emotional baseline to return to. You lose your own clarity. And in high-pressure conflict moments, that loss of internal ground is exactly what causes you to say or concede things you later regret. What to do? In your next tense exchange, take one slow breath and ask yourself, what am I feeling right now? Not what they're feeling. You. Name it before you respond to anything. 6. Specific roles in conflict feel pre-assigned. What it looks like. You always end up as the peacemaker, or always as the one who escalates, or always as the one who eventually walks away. The role shifts with the relationship, but within each relationship it feels fixed. Why it happens. Early family systems assigned emotional roles, often without words. You learned your part, and it became your default conflict identity. Why it matters. Fixed roles remove your agency. If you're always the one who backs down, you cannot lead a difficult conversation when it needs to be led. If you always escalate, you cannot de-escalate conflict when de-escalation is the stronger move. What to do? Notice the role you are slipping into early in a conflict. Name it silently. Then ask, what would a person without this history do right now? That question creates space between the pattern and the choice. The root beneath all of it. Every sign above shares a single source. Your nervous system learned its threat response settings in a context that no longer exists. It calibrated itself to the specific emotional environment of your early years, and unless you have deliberately worked on it, that calibration has not changed. This is not weakness. It is biology working as designed. But it means that your emotional control under pressure is, to a significant degree, still being run by the child who needed those responses to get through the day. The root of the problem is not the individual reactions. It is the unexamined assumption that the world of conflict is still as dangerous as it once was. Understanding this changes the work. You are not trying to suppress reactions. You are trying to update the information your nervous system is working from, one real experience at a time. A simple diagnostic you can use right now. Read each statement. Mark it yes or no based on your honest experience in the last 3 months. In conflict, I feel a physical reaction, tight chest, rapid pulse, cold hands before I have finished processing what was said. I have said or done something in a dispute that felt right in the moment and embarrassing afterward. I find it easier to address conflict via message or email than face to face. I sometimes feel like I am arguing with a version of someone from my past, not the person in front of me. After a conflict ends, I struggle to return to a calm baseline quickly. I know what I want to say, but lose access to the words when the pressure rises. I find myself taking responsibility for the emotional state of the other person during disputes. Scoring 0 to 2 yes. Your childhood emotional patterns have limited influence on your current conflict responses. Focus on refining self-awareness. 3 to 4 yes. Early conditioning is active in your conflict responses. Targeted practice on emotional regulation will produce clear gains. 5 to 7 yes. Childhood emotional patterns are significantly shaping your emotional control under pressure. This deserves serious, consistent attention. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where to begin? The first move is the simplest and the hardest. Slow the gap between trigger and response. Not to suppress what you feel, to create enough space that you're choosing your response rather than simply executing an old program. One practical method is to name the physical sensation before you name the emotion. My chest is tight comes before I'm angry, and both come before I'm going to say something. That sequence introduces decision-making into a process that currently runs on automatic. You can sharpen this further by learning how to start a difficult conversation deliberately, which builds the same discipline from the outside in. The same self-awareness applies when you're giving or receiving feedback under pressure. Emotional intelligence and feedback conversations addresses how to stay grounded when the stakes are personal, and advanced feedback techniques covers what happens when the psychological dynamics become complex. You will not unwrite decades of emotional programming in a week. What you can do, starting today, is notice the pattern one beat sooner each time. That single beat is where emotional control actually lies. What you can now see. You came to this article with a suspicion. Something in how you respond under pressure did not quite add up. What you can now name is this: childhood emotional patterns do not stay in the past. They travel forward, dressed in adult clothes, and they step in whenever the nervous system reads conflict as threat. The courage to look at that honestly is not small. Most people spend a lifetime rationalizing those reactions instead of examining them. If you found yourself in several of the signs above, that is not a reason for shame. It is the beginning of real self-regulation, the kind that holds when the pressure is highest and the stakes are real. Addressing childhood emotional patterns is some of the most honest work a person can do, and it pays out in every difficult conversation for the rest of your life. Frequently asked questions. What are childhood emotional patterns in conflict? Childhood emotional patterns in conflict are learned responses to threat, tension, or distress that formed in early life. They include freezing, appeasing, withdrawing, or escalating. These responses were once protective, but they often misfire in adult professional or personal conflict situations. How do childhood emotional patterns affect emotional control? Childhood emotional patterns bypass conscious decision-making when stress rises. Your nervous system defaults to its earliest programming, triggering reactions that feel automatic and disproportionate. The result is poor emotional control. You say too much, go silent, or escalate before you have had time to think. Can childhood emotional patterns be changed in adulthood? Yes, childhood emotional patterns can shift with consistent self-awareness and deliberate practice. The patterns do not erase, but you can learn to recognize when they are activating and create a pause before they dictate your behavior. That pause is where real emotional control begins. What does emotional control look like during adult conflicts? Emotional control during adult conflicts means staying present, choosing your response rather than reacting automatically, and keeping the conversation focused on the real issue. It does not mean suppressing feeling. It means your earliest survival wiring does not override your adult judgment under pressure. Why do I overreact in conflict even when I know better? Overreacting in conflict is often a sign that childhood emotional patterns have been triggered. Your nervous system reads the situation as more dangerous than it is, based on old experience. Knowing better does not stop the reaction. Building new habits of self-regulation does. How do I know if my emotional reactions in conflict come from childhood? The clearest sign is disproportionate intensity. Your reaction is bigger than the situation warrants. Other signs include going completely silent, people-pleasing under pressure, reliving old feelings during new disputes, and feeling like a child again in adult arguments. These point directly to earlier emotional conditioning. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.